This part of the letter, Paul is showing us what following Christ means day by day. How to use each hour and each day for his glory. If you remember, he's been telling us about self-control. Been telling us about using our time well. Been telling us about being filled with the Spirit. And the last thing he mentioned in verse 21 was submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So we all have different places in life, all have different roles. We must submit to one another in those roles in different ways. And he explains some of those ways now. Here we got wives and husbands, then in the next part, children and parents, and then slaves and masters. He's telling us the different places God has put us in. How to live in them. What the gospel means for husbands and wives, but also for future husbands and wives. And what we must be ready for if we're thinking about marriage. Right, firstly, verses 22 up to 24 says about the duty of wives. Now, the duty itself in verse 22, he says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. The word he uses, look it up in a Greek dictionary, means to obey, or it means to be under obedience, to be subject, to submit to authority. So it's explained in verse 23, he says the husband is the head of the wife. Your husband has been placed as your head, so you must obey him. It's a very easy thing to understand, isn't it? There's nothing difficult about what he says. It's doing it that's the difficult part. But the teaching itself is clear. It says if you want to please Christ as a wife, then you're to obey your own husband. If you want to displease and dishonour Christ as a wife, then be unsubmissive to your husband. He says it's something to do as to the Lord. Part of our service to Christ and to be done as if we are serving Christ. Now that means a proper, a true submission and obedience. You know, with our children, sometimes they obey us, but it's not real obedience because they moan and they complain whilst they do it. Or they only do half of it. They only do half of what we ask them to do. Well, they do it very, very slowly. But a proper and a true submission is prompt. And it's glad. It's rejoicing. And it's entire. It's complete. That's what the command says. It's very easy to understand. Now, it doesn't say that all women are to obey all men. And it certainly doesn't say that women are somehow inferior to men. That's not the teaching. But it says that a wife is to submit to her own husband. Not to any husband or any man, but to her own husband within the household. Verse 23 says, just as the church to Christ. Now that's how God made marriage. God made Eve to be a helper suitable for her husband Adam. Didn't make Eve to be a rival. Didn't make Eve to replace him or to dominate him. But she made him to be alongside him, to help him. Her role was to aid. Verse 24 says, in everything, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. That means all lawful authority. Now, if your husband tells you to go and steal something, or to go and tell a lie to the neighbour, or to go and tell a lie to the teachers at school, well, that's not lawful authority. Now, Christ didn't give the husband any such authority. The church doesn't submit to Christ by sinning. That's a contradiction. That makes no sense. But in holy things, If your husband tells you something and it's not sinful, that's the standard. If he tells you something that's sinful, then you have to respectfully and kindly decline and ask God to help you. But that's the extent of the authority. In everything which is not a sin, everything that can be done in the Lord. In those things which are lawful, well, it's his responsibility. He'll have to answer to the Lord for it. Christ will require an account from him. But it's for you to submit. Now that doesn't mean that a man is superior to a woman. It doesn't mean that a woman is just a servant. It doesn't mean she's just a robot. Just like some hired slave. We have chapters in the Bible like Proverbs 31. And there we see a wife taking a lot of initiative, doing a lot of planning, doing a lot of work out of her own mind, and doing many things to benefit her household. She hasn't become just reduced to following commands and then sitting and waiting for commands to come. No, but if we look at Proverbs 31, we see her taking part in business. We see her husband trusting her with many things. He's not always asking, what's this, what's this, what's this? But he's trusted it to her within the home and outside the home as she makes plans and developments. We're not really spending time to study that chapter. But you'll see a strong, a confident, hard-working woman taking a lot of initiative to build up her household. Maybe you remember Abigail, the wife of Nabal, in the Old Testament. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 25. But her husband was a foolish man. And she had to save her household. She delivered her household when David was coming to destroy all the men of the household because of Nabal's foolishness. And she took a godly initiative and she saved the household. And the Bible does not say that wives are servants. And a man who treats his wife that way is very ungodly. And submitting to your husband doesn't mean that you become like some inferior person or child. He gives some reasons for this. In verse 22 it says, wives, submit to your husbands. Or other versions, other translations put in an extra word. They say, submit to your own husband. It's reminding you that you're joined and you're one. It's not a stranger. It's not a foreigner. It's not just some boss or master who's asking you to do something. But he's your own husband, the one with whom you've been joined. And it's appointed by God, as we've already said. It's an obedience in the Lord. It's the way God has made us. When he made Adam and Eve, he made Eve to follow the leadership given by Adam. It's not just something from culture. It's not a matter of tradition. It's not something to do just because your parents and grandparents and their parents did it. It's part of God's will and plan for the family. And actually, this can give us a great encouragement. If you don't agree with your husband, you know, and hopefully your husband should discuss, and it should be a matter of trying to see the same thing together, but if at the end you don't agree, and he says, well, here's the decision I'm making, I think it's best. Yet, if you submit, then you're following Jesus. And you're bringing honor to Jesus. Even a woman who has a bad husband, if we were to have, we don't yet have any, but if we had someone who's in the church and her husband isn't in the church, and perhaps he's a bad husband and he's not helping her at all, yet she can submit, knowing that it pleases Jesus, knowing that it is an obedience to God, even if he's not a good man. It's a witness to Christ. when joyful obedience and good order is seen. See, the gospel came to bring order again into the world. The sin brings chaos, sin brings trouble, but the gospel restores. And that's seen first of all in the family. Now let's move on, as Paul talks much more about the duties of husbands. Looking at it just in the Bible, there's wives and there's husbands. It's 2-3 times as long. And also, it's one word for them to remember. Our duty is explained very simply. Wives, submit. But husbands, he says, love. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He who loves his wife, verse 28, loves himself. 33, each of you must love his wife. This word, love, love. Now, love in the Bible is not talking about a feeling. I don't know what kind of songs really you have on the radio, but in the West, they sing about love, but love just means desire. But when desire dies, love dies. People say, I don't love you anymore. The love has gone. But love is not a feeling, it's not an emotion. In the Bible, love is self-giving, is self-sacrifice for the sake of another person. Verse 25, just as Christ loved the church and he gave himself up for her. He loved the church and he did what the church needed. His love wasn't just the love that he spoke fine words and remained far away in heaven. His love was not just an idea he had, but then it passed away. But his love was what caused him to take on a body, to live as a servant for all those years, and to offer himself up to the death of the cross. His love was so costly, it cost him everything. And that's the pattern given to us. That's the model given to the husband. In true marriage, this is what God wants men to do. To forget themselves and their own interests and desires, and to give themselves. That's why God gives authority. All authority in the world is given for serving those under the authority. When God appoints governments and God appoints elders in a church, he gives them authority which they must use for the good of those under them, not for their own good. A big man is not a man who serves himself, but one who serves others. And the reason why wives will often complain about having to submit to their husbands is because the husbands aren't using their authority in this way, are they? They're just using it for their own pleasure and their own convenience. Their wives don't really believe the husband is leading them for their good, for the whole family's good. And that's where the problems come in. Our authority is given for us to build up our wives and our children and our homes. Now, love means sacrifice then. And love means trying to benefit in a lawful way those who we're with. We look at what Christ did when he gave up himself. What was his purpose? This is our purpose, verse 26. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Verse 27. And to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, any defect, but holy and blameless. Christ came for his church to bring her to perfection and to glory. He saw her dirty and needy, and he took the whole work upon himself to bring her up from there until she was spotless, without stain. That's our work. Husbands, we're not to criticize our wives if we see some failing or some lack. but we're to see how we can help them and lift them up. We're not competing with them and fighting with them, but we're to give ourselves to bring them up to where they can reach. That's what Christ did. Imagine if Christ just criticized the church and beat her and sent her away and told her how bad she was. Where would we be? Where would we be if not for the kindness and the patience of Jesus Christ in dealing with us from day to day, with all our sins, all our faults, all the things that are wrong with us, yet patient, he bears with us, he teaches us, he encourages us, he sets us an example, he tries to lift us up. That's what it should be like. You know, what will happen to a team if the manager just criticizes the players and beats them instead of coaching them and training them and encouraging them and motivating them? That team will just be so discouraged and they won't play as a team and they'll lose. A family is a team and the husband is the coach. Now there's great reasons to do this. We look at verse 28. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. A marriage is a unity. Two lives have become one. There is a unity of body, but not just of body, but of the whole existence, that two are to become one. Now, Adam could never forget this. Where did he get Eve from? What was she made from? She was taken out of his side, out of his ribs. How could he send her away? He'd be sending himself away. How could he see her as anything except part of himself? Because she was part of himself. He said, "This is bone of my bone. This is flesh of my flesh." We'll call her woman because she was taken out of man. And so he says, verse 29, "How can you hate your own body? What do you do with your own body? You feed it, you care for it, as Christ does for the church. Every day, don't you? You feed your own body, you take care of it, you protect it. If you see danger coming, then you protect it. You try to do good to it continually. Well, your wife is part of you through marriage. As it says in verse 31, and it's quoting from Genesis 2, verse 24, the very beginning of marriage, Adam and Eve in the garden. It says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." The bond between man and wife is closer than between man and father and mother. Even though you came from your mother's body, yet when you marry, the union is closer with your wife. And that's how we should live. Wife must come first. Not clan, not tribe, not parents, but wife must come first. Jesus said, "What God has joined together, man must not separate." What God has put together, man must not separate. And so it's very important we put our wife and her interests first, before anyone else, whether work or family, even father and mother. The Bible requires much, much more of us than culture does. A man just in culture says, "Well, I put bread on the table. He said, I've given her a place to sleep. And so that's enough, isn't it?" And the Bible says, no, it's not enough. You must care for your wife as you care for yourself. You must see her as one with yourself. You know, if you have a dog, then you feed it and you give it a place to sleep. If you have a servant, then you give them some wages so they can eat. But your wife is one with yourself. So, so much more is required than culture requires of us. You're to be her teacher, her guide, her friend, her lover, her encourager, her strength, her support. Just as Jesus laid down his own life for us, we're to lay down our life for others. So a home is to be a demonstration of the gospel. And a home is the place where we put the gospel into practice. What will people see if they come into your home? What will they learn about Christ and the church? Because you say that Christ loves the church and that the church follows Christ. Well, what will they actually see though in your home? Will they see that loving, self-giving leadership and that joyful submission? Will the gospel be believable? Or will people say, oh, so that's what he means by the love of Christ and the church. I don't want that kind of love from Christ, thank you. And they say, oh, that's how the church follows Christ. They're not serious, really. Now, what will they see there? Now, those who are not married, maybe you'll marry in future, you can see now you have to be very careful about who you choose. Because a wife has to submit totally to her husband. And a husband has to give himself totally for his wife. You're not just choosing someone to give you a roof and a home. You're not just choosing someone to do some cooking. But you're choosing someone to be united with and to give yourself to. So choose so very carefully. Because once you're together, God says there must be no parting until death. How do humans thrive and grow? It's through being loved, isn't it? That's what husbands must do. That's what Christ did. Your home is a demonstration of the gospel to the world. The Bible says when church leaders are chosen, we must look at their homes to see if they really understand. See if they're really serious about the gospel. To see if we give them some authority in the family of God, well, what will they do with it? What did they do with the authority they had in their own place? That's why we have to be serious about marriage when people are joining the church. We look if God is being honoured, if their marriage is according to the law of Kenya, if their way that they're treating their family is godly. We look to see if they're serious about their repentance and following Christ. So that is how we live as wives and husbands to follow the Lord Jesus. Wives, one word, submit. Husbands, one word, love.